Up next on American Restoration.
This is an aerial square four.
It's pretty rare.
The pipe here in the neck looks totally bent.
That is going to cost a lot of money. It's bad.
When I attempt to straighten this frame, I could tear it in two.
Oh! That's not the frame cracking, is it?
We do need the forklift. Ty, give me some help.
You know how to run the forklift?
Never needed to.
You train them.
Holy! Right there.
Oh, my God.
It's going to tip over.
I'm Rick Dale, and at my shop, we share a passion to give new life to pieces from the past. Every project has its challenges, but there's no job we can't handle. This is American Restoration.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Customer brought in a really cool motorcycle. I've got it in the boneyard. You want to take a look at it?
Absolutely.
It's a good piece.
Let's check it out.
Rick, this is Lori, and here's her bike.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, Rick. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. Wow.
This is a British motorcycle. It's an aerial square four. It's actually called a squareal. I bought it in an auction in Nebraska, and they sold it to me as a 1952, but looking at it a little closer, I think this is actually a 1953 model. The difference is this has got four pipes instead of two.
Quite honestly, it's pretty rare. They only made like 4,000 of them.
They weren't really exported to this country a lot. They were mostly in Europe.
We've spent 20 years looking for an aerial like this. They're very hard to find.
Okay.
This motor was called a square four because it's got four cylinders, right?
Most motorcycles are two.
This is a cruiser. This will actually travel across the country very smoothly and comfortably.
And it's actually fairly original. The one things that are different, these handlebars would be flatter. And then it's got Triumph pegs on it, so they're not the original pegs.
So what do you want to do with this?
My husband's originally from Australia, and his dad passed away this year.
I'm sorry.
This is Neville, Mark's dad. The bikes that he rode were always aerial bikes. And this is a picture of him on one of his aerials. This is a Red Hunter, 1940s. I want to do this up for my husband, and the idea is to take this back overland across Europe and Asia back to Australia.
It's going to be a surprise for your husband in memory of his father.
Yep.
That's excellent. That's a great thing to do.
This lady's husband is one lucky SOB. I just hope that we're lucky enough to restore this badass motorcycle as a surprise. The biggest challenge on this is getting the right parts, because this bike is so rare. The other challenge is there's a lot of chrome. I mean, the forks, the shroud on the front of the headlight, the levers, all this stuff inside here is chrome. Everything on this is chrome.
You know, everything we talked about, how much would this be?
I'm looking at probably 25 grand to do the whole bike.
Well, that's a lot more than I was expecting. You know, if we can do it closer to 20, I think I can do it.
20. I mean, I've never done an aerial, but I've got to start somewhere, right? In my business, there's not much wiggle room. Things just cost what they cost. But sometimes I'm a sucker, and I just don't want to see this thing walk out of my shop because of how rare it really is. I tell you what, yes, we can do it for 20,000.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Awesome. That's awesome.
I'm very excited to see my husband's face when he sees this. He's going to be so excited.
Are we going to get these treasures unloaded or what?
We got a lot, so we got to go in. We got to get somebody to help us out, all right?
Okay, I mean, are you sure we can't do it, just the two of us? Teamwork.
There's the dynamic duo. How'd you guys do?
Oh, we did awesome.
We do need the forklift, so Ty, can you give me some help? And
there's forklifts right there. Just go take it.
I've never had to do that.
Do you know how to run the forklift?
I've never needed to. I've always had Tyler help me out with it.
I can drive it for you.
No, you need to be taught.
I mean, it's kind of like driving a golf cart with a shovel attached to its face.
It is not like driving a golf cart with a shovel attached to its face. Come here.
I'm the guy who finds stuff, not the guy who moves it. The advantage of not knowing how to work a forklift is I get to sit back and watch everybody else move all the heavy crap.
You need to know how to use this forklift. Tyler, I want you to train Ron. In fact, you might as well train Letters at the same time. And find a safe place to do it. I don't want these clowns ruining my boneyard. All right.
Get your toes out of the way so I can unload your stuff and go back to work.
This is going to be great. Learning is good because knowledge is power.
Learning sucks.
We'll be right back.
All right, go ahead. Get it? All right.
Got it?
Seat, gas tank, and both fenders. Those are the main things we can get off first. Oh, this bolt. They're almost the same as metric, but they're not. Can I get this size wrench? I need a quarter inch. Got it? Got it. All right, good job.
Got it.
All right. We got majority of the stuff off as far as all the sheet metal, the gas tank, the fenders.
All right, well, just remember, all these pieces need to be sent out and polished immediately.
Okay.
The handlebars, she was mentioning these may be wrong.
Okay, so we want to look into that, maybe find a picture, see what was originally there.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Oh, this is coming along.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting there.
Thank God for grease and oil. There's no rust on anything, really. Do you know this? I don't know if I'm off or not, but the pipe here in the neck looks totally bent.
Don't even say that. Are you serious?
Do you know this? I don't know if I'm off or not. The pipe here in the neck looks bent.
Really?
The tube here is totally over, and you can see where it's not in the center of the cylinder.
Don't even say that.
No, I'm not kidding. Look at this.
Whoa! It's bad. It's like it got hit from this side, and it just took the whole front end of the frame and tweaked it over. Because this motorcycle is so rare, if I can even find a frame, it's gonna cost me thousands of dollars. I did not plan on this when I took on this restoration. I mean, that is gonna cost a lot of money to buy a new frame. I wish we would have seen that off the bat so I could have told the customer.
Remember she was saying she was sure the handlebars were wrong?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, there was an accident. Someone replaced the front end and put different handlebars on.
Right.
This is a big safety issue. Having a bike that's not in alignment, it's hard to handle the bike properly, and it can be a big problem.
All right, guys, I gotta go make some calls.
That sucks.
Well, that ruined the day, huh?
Right.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
We got another problem with the aerial bike.
What do you mean, a problem?
It's got a giant hole in it. Look, it's like a failed repair that somebody did.
Looks like this is the front fender. It's just a very, very bad repair.
Yeah.
It's nothing but holes. The only way to fix this fender, because this is such a rare bike, and it's so hard to find parts for this thing, is to cut it out and then TIG weld a new piece of metal in there with the same contour shape.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'll get you started.
Okay.
At least show you where to cut. Come here.
This bike has been one headache after another. I mean, it's gonna be all hands on deck, and Tyler's gonna have to step up on this one.
Cut out between here and here.
Yeah.
That's all good metal there, and then come out to about here.
Okay.
Take a flat piece of metal, and then you're gonna roll it this way,
mm-hmm.
and then roll it this way. Don't heat it up so much that it's warping the metal, and at the same time, it's smooth again. You think you got that?
Yeah.
Okay, this is your test. I wanna see it when you're done.
All right.
Bent frame on this aerial is a huge problem. So I talked to my buddy Ace, and he said he might be able to straighten it out. Oh! So I sent Chris and Brentley over so he can see it firsthand.
Hey, Brentley.
Hey, Ace. How's it going, buddy?
How you doing?
We need your help.
They brought me a 1953 Aerial Square 4, most sought-after motorcycle in the world today. When you have one with a bent frame, this could be disastrous. You're talking about a frame selling for $18,000. All right, let's get it up here. About 6 years ago, I wanted to straighten a frame on a motorcycle. Had no way to do it other than heating it, pounding on it. You could spend a week, maybe two. You'd be cutting sections out of it, bend it with pry bars, hit it with hammers. Even the very best at it didn't ever make them completely right. So I set about designing a frame machine. We're able to cold pull, meaning no heat. All right, guys. We're going to apply pressure to this frame hydraulically. It's going to move the frame very slightly. Look at this angle. You see that white beam?
Yep.
You're going to watch that like move. That. You see the red light starting to flash under there? That's a laser. The laser's going to transmit the measurements to the computer screen.
Well, hey, let's see you do your magic.
All right, let's get her done. You're going to watch it as it starts to progress. It'll start to move. You got to know we're dealing with 20 tons of pulling power. Looking at this frame, it could have a multitude of sand happening to it. You could have breaks in the frame. You could have bad welds. When I attempt to straighten this frame, I could tear it in two. I don't know.
Oh, Ace, that's not the frame cracking, is it? Holy.
You gotta know we're dealing with 20 tons of pulling power.
I really hope this works, Ace. Ace is trying to unbend our bent frame on the aerial motorcycle. We're dealing with an old-ass bike here, so a lot could go wrong. Oh! Ace, that's not the frame cracking, is it?
Absolutely not. Billy made a comment that he heard a snapping sound.
Holy crap.
He thought the frame was snapping. There's chains holding this bike down to the machine, and they were simply flexing. Now it's gonna start to move, really start to move right now. Done.
Ace nailed it. This frame is straight as it could be.
Right into position, huh?
He saved us time and money. We didn't have to buy a frame. We didn't have to spend a lot of time working on it. So bringing it here was definitely a good thing. Thank you, guys. You guys pulled through. Literally.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Caveman, we'll see you at night.
Okay, bring me a challenge.
Okay. Yeah.
Or a bottle of whiskey. Your
That'll
choice.
Work.
Hey, Ty. How's it going?
I'm about done.
You patched that all the way around there. Let me see it. You got it nice and flat and straight. You did the compound curve both ways, and it just fits on there. Like, I can't even feel it.
Look, it's one now. Piece.
I mean, it's pretty much the same sound. So it's basically all fused together.
I continue to impress you, don't I?
Yeah, you did pretty good. But now, if I could get you to do something with dyeing your hair just one color, it'd be great.
You dye your hair more than I do.
This is my natural brown look, you know?
But if this is gray, why is that a different color?
I dye this. The problem I got now is somebody has drilled a hole in this tank at some point to pull a dent. You can't have a hole in the gas tank, put Bondo on there, it'll eventually eat through it, and then eat the whole paint job.
Yeah.
I think because the hole's so small, I think you might want to try to braze it. How do you feel about doing that?
I don't know, I've never done that before. Manny does that, but I've never done it.
If you don't feel comfortable doing it, then take it into Manny, but I want you to watch and learn, because you did really, really good on that fender.
All right, to Manny's room. Ugh. If this were soldering, it'd be one thing, but we have to braze it. The brass filler has a higher melting temperature, which requires more heat, and that means a better chance of warping the tank. So that's why I'm having Manny do it. Once he has the hole filled, he cools it down and then grinds it to make the tank smooth. Manny makes it look easy, but it really does take a lot of practice. It looks great.
Tyler, I don't see any forklifts.
No, we're not driving forklifts. I'm taking you to bigger things. When my dad found out that Ron didn't know how to operate a forklift.
You know how to run the forklift?
I've never needed to. I've always had Tyler help me out with it.
My dad told me that I had to train Ron and Leonard, but I couldn't do it at the shop because they might break something. So we're going to try them out on some really big stuff. How you doing? You Dave?
I am. It must be Tyler.
Yeah. They need to learn how to operate a forklift, and if they can operate these giant things, they can operate a forklift.
I can operate anything. Just let me at it.
Let's start by putting these vests on.
Okay.
You got me wearing shoes and now this freaking bra. What is this?
You need a bra or anything.
So we're driving those things.
Yeah. The giant excavator.
Let's turn this into a race or something. Let's do a competition.
Yeah. Let's race.
Do a little race on our tire section. And whoever transplants their pyramid to the other end, there's your winner.
It's totally going to be me. I mean, I've been playing video games since I was 5. I'm master of the joystick.
You look like you're good with joysticks.
That I am.
Things are awesome, dude. All
right, Ron, you can go ahead and jump into this first one here.
Number one.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and start them up. Go ahead and push both of them forward. Come out onto the dirt a good 10 feet. Move your left joystick left and right. Lower those buckets down to the ground so they're touching. Keep pushing forward on your right joystick. We're going to do a nice big push-up.
Push-up. Holy
yeah.
Oh, F-10. F-10. Holy
You're going to tip over.
F-10.
Come on, Ron. Don't be a coward.
That's good, Leonard. Leonard, stop right there.
Oh, my God.
You're going to get yourself killed.
Holy
That's good, Leonard. Leonard, stop right there. That's good.
Oh, this thing is awesome.
Lower yourselves back down nice and slow.
Holy sh!
That was sketchy.
Ron and Leonard are about to have a race using some heavy machinery. That is if Leonard doesn't destroy his excavator first.
All right, guys, see your stacks of tires down here on the end? I'm gonna have Tyler tell you guys when to go. You're gonna pick up that top tire, then you're gonna do a 180, and you're gonna set that tire down by the cone here. And we're gonna repeat that two more times until whoever finishes the pyramid first, all right?
Okay.
All right, you guys ready?
Ron and Leonard each have their first tire.
Yes, first one down.
Right back at you, pal.
It's on now.
Hey, Leonard, your shoe's untied.
Oh, you missed it.
Can't find the hole.
Ron, now's your chance. Come on, Ron, you got it. Bring it down, bring it down,
Leonard,
bring it down.
Push your left up. Uh-huh. There you go.
Here we go.
There you go. Now spin around.
Got some catching up to do.
Stall. Ron's got the chance to steal the win here. Woo, it's coming down to the wire. Damn, Leonard's got some speed on Ron. Ron's slow.
Neck and neck, but I'm gonna win this thing.
That's enough out of you, Leonard.
Leonard's coming back. It's anybody's game.
Yeah, Ron, you got some catching up to do.
What the hell's going on over there?
Me kicking your butt, that's what's going on. Was that the Reese's bell? Because I think it just been schooled.
You gotta be kidding me. You won. You won.
That ain't it.
That sucks. Leonard may have won, but that just means that Leonard should be the one doing all the forklift work.
That's awesome.
You're bad.
Yeah.
Rick is hiding somewhere, I'm sure. So, Mark, do you know why you're here? Do you know what your wife did for you?
No idea.
I'm pretty good at this.
Awesome.
Well, you've got quite a surprise ahead of you.
Yeah, she's pretty sneaky.
Let's see if we can find him. Rick! There he is.
What? Oh, wow. You're kidding me. That is crazy. I'm just blown away. This is just incredible.
I know you've been missing your dad a lot after he passed away, but I thought the aerial connection was something that you guys kind of shared.
Whenever I think of my father, it's just him with his bike. He is obviously a big part of his life. My father just be absolutely blown away.
Wife of the year.
Yeah, I guess so. What do I owe you now? How did you do this?
And when she brought it, it was not running, and it was rusted. All the chrome was rusted. All the paint was faded. And the first problem I found was that the frame was bent. I had a friend named Ace, and he actually straightened the frame. I ended up finding a whole new front end. All this is new for the right gear. And I shouldn't say it's new. These parts are so hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was the tank had a hole in it, so we had to braze that up. This is the original red that was on this particular serial number of this year. So we painted that all red. I mean, there was a lot of chrome. So everything that was chrome is chrome.
The details are just amazing. I can't believe it's the same bike.
But just stunning, just amazing. Wow, Rick, I can't thank you enough. This is
oh, your
biggest dream. And you. Oh, boy. I'd love to take it for a spin.
Absolutely.
There's absolutely no comparison between the bike I brought in and the bike we saw today. Rick just knocked it out of the ballpark. He did an amazing job.
My father was a really important person to me. It's going to be a great reminder to look at the bike and to think of him. You know, it's just the sort of bike that he would have loved to have had back in the day.
This is forking awesome.
Oh, come on.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. Oh, God, that kid. He'd be kidding me.
Leonard, hold on. What happened? So,
Ron told me to forklift this thing, and there was a glitch with the joystick.
A glitch with the joystick? I think it was a glitch with the operator. Leonard, no forklift, okay? I'm gonna go get Tyler. Tyler!
Leonard.
Stick to video games, dude.